Omagyanatunandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chatsur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanyuno Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Shigra Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigram Vaishnavamscha Shirupam Sagurjatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivasakam Vitam Sha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Taptakan Shenagorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishnuvana Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Kriye Panchakapa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vrcha Patidanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Maha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pramitananda Shadvaitita Narashivasati Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Today we're having one second initiation. There are generally considered to be three different levels of initiation in our Vaishnava society. First is Harinam, second is Brahminical initiation, Mantra Diksha, and the third is Sannyas. Actually, everyone is supposed to be a sannyasi. Even the ladies are supposed to be sannyasis in the real sense of the term. Krishna says, Nashrityam karma phalam karya karma kurotiya sasanyasi kiyogisha minirangir na chakriha. That one who is unattached to the results of his work and works as he's obligated is in the renounced order of life, and he is the true mystic, that he who lights no fire and performs no work. That is, unattached to the results of our work. We may not be always conscious of what that means, but it means that we're conditioned. We're a conditioned soul. And if you want to find out if you're attached to the results we work, all we do is have to think about whether or not I'm in the Bali concept of life. Anyone who's in the Bali concept of life is attached to the results of their work. Because if we weren't attached to the results of our work, we wouldn't be in the Bali concept of life. It's very simple. Now, the process of Krishna consciousness is to perform those activities which will free us from our misconceptions, material conceptions, and at the same time to create the atmosphere by which that can be accomplished. Therefore, we have different kinds of activities. One of them is chanting Hare Krishna, and the other is, for instance, meditating on Krishna through mantras such as Gayatri Mantra. But this is, it's the same. Somehow or another, do something that will help us remember Krishna. As it says, when we're performing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, that the essence of that is Smartha Vyak Sadhatam Vishnur Vismartha Jatu Jatayo Jatayo Kinchit Jatu Kinchit Sarva Vidhi Nisayya Asyur Ekyar Eva Kinkara. There's only two rules and regulations. Or one rule and one regulation. The one rule is always remember Krishna, and the second is never forget him. For the conditioned soul, it seems quite difficult. We say, how can I do that? Well, that's what all the rules and regulations that we're following are supposed to help us accomplish. Of course, if we don't have a taste for Krishna consciousness, if when we chant Hare Krishna, we don't feel Krishna's presence, if it seems to us we might as well chant, Mary had a little lamb and sheep was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. We get more or less the same effect as chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Then obviously it's going to become a little boring chanting Hare Krishna. Even sometimes devotees, they try to remember Krishna's form, or they try to remember Krishna's pastimes when they're chanting, just to make it a little bit more interesting. But they can't do that very consistently, and so after a while they give up and just try and get their rounds done. And that's the success of the day, they finish their rounds. And therefore they've accomplished something. They've been a good person. No, little experience, little change of consciousness, but at least another 16 beats, the counter beats have gone down and up again. So we feel something was done. So that can go on for some time until we lose interest that why 16, I get the same effect from 15 or 1 or 0. Therefore, we have to create the proper consciousness so that when we chant Hare Krishna, we actually, kataruchi, we get some taste from doing it. So why don't we get any taste? Because we're in the modes of ignorance and passion. We're hankering and lamenting. Why are we hankering and lamenting? Because we identify ourselves with this body, and the things we hanker for and lament over all have to do with the shelter of this body. We take this body as our shelter, and when things good happen to the body, we feel good about it, and when things bad happen to the body, we feel bad, because this is our shelter, this is what will protect us, this will make us comfortable, this will make us happy, we think happy, whatever we call happy. And therefore our consciousness is more or less absorbed in the bodily concept of life, and the chanting, because we don't really take shelter of the chanting, because our hearts are not free enough to take shelter, therefore we experience less of an effect. There is supposed to be a progression from Harinam Diksha, when we simply receive the holy name. Of course, everyone has an opportunity to chant the holy name. It's being made free. But obviously, even people who chant the holy name, unless they do it with a proper consciousness, they get little or no effect. As a matter of fact, when the Maya bodies chant Hare Krishna, it is said in Nam Aparad that they become more bewildered. Because they think that they are Krishna or something. But that's not, so we have to learn how to chant at least the Namabhas clearing stage. The chanting is supposed to help us come to that platform. And if we learn how to chant, not how to chant, simply how to pronounce the words nicely, which is also part of it, but how to live life in such a way is that we're actually taking shelter of Krishna. Not that when we're in the temple, Krishna becomes the proprietor of everything. When we walk outside the temple, then I get my share of the world to live in. In the temple, Krishna is, everything there is Radha Balava's, and outside the temple, he has something and I have something too. To actually live life in such a way is that everything really belongs to Krishna. Not sometimes, whenever I feel like it, we offer Krishna something. We have a little altar in our house and we offer him something to eat so he doesn't fall over on the altar. At least a little water so it doesn't dry up. But that's not the idea. The idea is to acknowledge that everything really does belong to him so that we can realize that everything belongs to him. It's not that when we offer something to Krishna, we're doing a favor to Krishna. No, we're just acknowledging that everything belongs to Krishna, not for Krishna's benefit, Not that he came to our house because he was thirsty and he wants some water every day. No, it's to help us realize that everything, Krishna is everywhere and everything belongs to him. And that everything is supposed to be meant for his service. It's not that only in the temple, you know, they're supposed to serve Krishna there because, you know, somehow or another he came a long way from Goloka Vrindavan, so we have to give him something to eat every day. In case he wants to go back, we'll pack him a lunch, big lunch. Now the idea is that we're supposed to be trained so that we take the consciousness that everything is Krishna's and everything is meant for Krishna's service. Then we can take shelter actually of Krishna and see things in relation with Krishna. Otherwise it's impossible. We can read the philosophy forever. Unless we reach that conclusion, we won't make any real genuine progress. Then we can keep on chanting Hare Krishna for millions of lifetimes, as it says, but we won't actually feel surrendered to Krishna, but to speak of his holy name. We won't be able to feel Krishna's presence. And therefore the chanting will simply be mechanical. Of course, it is said one can go on, and eventually it has it's an effect. Probably what it means, eventually we'll get tired of committing offenses and figure, oh, what, one day I'll try and do, you know, pay attention to what I'm doing, or try and understand. But as long as we maintain the attitude that Krishna consciousness is one of my hobbies, although it's kind of like a more, it's one of hobbies that at least externally I've taken seriously, it's like people put on cricket uniforms to go out and play cricket. So we put on a Hare Krishna uniform. We're playing Hare Krishna for a while. No, we actually not only have to put on the external form, but we have to realize the progression from just chanting Hare Krishna to developing the chanting in such a way, to live life in such a way so we come to the mode of goodness. Sama, Dhamma, Tapaso, Cham, Chandi, Arjava, Eva, Cha, Jnanam Vijnanam Astityam Brahma Karma Sabhavajat. Because unless we come to the mode of goodness, we won't experience what the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is. It simply remains a theory in ignorance and passion. And only when we factually live life by cleanliness and truthfulness and austerity, simplicity, controlling the mind and senses, living according to the religious principles, only when we do that does it act, we actually understand what we're doing. Then that spirit of renunciation has to be there. Whether one formally takes sannyas or one simply develops the idea that everything is Krishna's and everything is meant for Krishna's service. That is what everyone is supposed to come to, whether externally or in, or externally one appears one way or the other. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has agreed and accepted Lord Brahma's statement, Sthanesthita Shuddhigatam Dhanavanganovya. He doesn't say that externally we change our dress. He says remain in any position, but with the body, mind, and words serve Krishna. Except that everything is Krishna. It's not that Krishna, what does he need my, you know, my guitar for? What does he need my computer for? What does he need this computer program? He doesn't need it, but I like it. So he has his likes and I have my likes. I give Krishna something, I put in my 8 to 5, whatever, 9 to 5 every day, and then we need a break. But to take Krishna consciousness as not just a part-time occupation, but as an existence, as a reality, that I'm trying to enter into. I, the soul, am trying to enter into that reality. Therefore, I have to take shelter of Krishna. I have to take shelter of Krishna's instructions and coming down the simple succession and make that my life. Not simply my theory that someone questions why you are a Hare Krishna, I have all the answers. And but when I ask myself, why aren't you a Hare Krishna? Why don't you surrender? Well, I never really thought like that. I am surrendered. Look at me. I put on a dress. I change my dress and I change my address. I mean, what more can you expect from me? but changing the consciousness and actually accepting Krishna as our shelter is something different. But it has to come by knowledge, by experience. It can't come simply theoretically. We can chant Hare Krishna at least theoretically, and that should help us, has to help us come to the brahminical stage. Otherwise, the chanting is not really having an effect. If we're not becoming more clean, if we're not becoming more truthful, if we're not becoming more simple, if we're not gaining realization, if we're not coming to become Brahman, either officially or unofficially, then we're not chanting Hare Krishna. Or at least we're not chanting offenselessly. And if we become Brahmins, we get our sacred thread, and we think now my job is done because now I have so many bhaktis I can tell to wash the pots. My mission accomplished. Then we've lost sight of what actually our mission is. The mission is to come to the stage of totally depending upon Krishna, not depending upon anyone else except for Krishna. And if we depend upon Krishna, then Krishna will make all the other arrangements for us. Anyas chintayanto mam ye jana paripasate te chamniti vyuktanam ye yoga shemam vahamiha. To those who are constantly devoted, meditating upon my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So these verses in Bhagavad Gita, they follow one after another. Krishna is not kind of speaking something, patram pushpam balam koyam, and then he says, yat kuroshi yat ashnasti, and then he says different things, and then finally he concludes that those who are meditating on my transcendental form, I carry what they lack, and I preserve what they have. There's a process of coming to that platform, of actually believing that Krishna, we are Krishna's servants, and it's in our interest to become, to do things to please Krishna. We have no really other interests except for that. And that all these other interests are just born out of the false ego, our false conception of identifying ourselves with this gross and subtle material body, which is, we think, is our shelter, and is always durashaya, always turns out to be a bad shelter. Of course, we may have to wait. Those who have a young body, they think, well, I'm going to be young forever and healthy. Because nowadays it's called yuga, so one is 20 years old and he has a heart condition. But generally speaking, people are younger, they think, well, when I get old, then I'll take it more seriously. Then I'll actually surrender to Krishna. But can't take it 100% seriously. We need experience. But that experience will never come unless we actually take it seriously. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Kamara Acharat Pragyo Dharman Bhagavataniha. He says from 5 years old, we should take it seriously and surrender to Krishna. And not that we wait till we're 20 or 60 or 100, whatever. No, we start taking it seriously. No, to accept the fact that we're spiritual beings, chant Hare Krishna, try to develop the brahminical qualifications. What does that mean? It means before we eat prasadam, we should wash our hands, even if they look clean. And we should wash them afterwards, although we may want to save some prasadam for the afternoon. No, we should wash our hands. One time there was a big controversy in the society. Our leadership, they wanted to organize our society, make a big central organization, all the money would go through a central fund. And probably when he heard about that, he told the leadership, he wrote to all the temple presidents, and he told them, don't listen to the GBC anymore, at least temporarily, and just only follow me. And then he wrote to some of the GBC members, he said, why are you doing this? You're making all these big, big plans for centralization. But I see at your meeting, you have all these big plans, but there's no plan, for instance, how to teach the devotees how to wash their hands before they eat. He said, I've seen that in the temples. Devotees just take prasadam, they don't even bother washing. He said, that you should discuss. This is important. Not all this big centralization. So our priorities are, we're going to make a big, big thing about how wonderful the Hare Krishna movement is, but we have to become Hare Krishnas, real Hare Krishnas, real Brahmins, at least with the qualities of a Brahmin and the mode of goodness, because unless we come to the mode of goodness, how will we understand what transcendence is? If we can't understand this world that we're living in and how to live properly in it as human beings, then how are we going to transcend the world if we can't even come to the human platform? And Srimad Bhagavatam Prabhupada writes that there are Brahmins, there are Kshatriyas, there's Vaishyas, and there's Shudras, but human life really begins from the Brahminical platform. Well, one can actually control its senses, because unless we control our senses, what's the difference between ourselves and the animals? The animals, if you watch a cat, it's also very clean. The cat's licking itself 100 times a day, trying to keep clean. You don't have to instruct the cat that, my dear cat, you know, take a shower. No, it knows instinctively that it should try to become clean. But that doesn't mean a cat is a Brahmin. We don't do because ultimately the cat can't control its senses or its mind, samadhamma. Therefore, human life really begins when we're realizing that this is, well, at least I should follow Krishna's directions and do with these senses and mind what he tells me to do. What a human being does with his senses and mind, rather, we're not. Sometimes in Prabhupada's books or in his lectures, he's talking about human beings or animals. So people don't like animals nowadays. They like the cats and they like their dogs, or maybe they have a pet goat or something. So they think that's not an animal, that's, you know, that's my pet. And when Prabhupada condemns the animals, you know, human beings living like animals, he's not condemning the animals. It's not that Prabhupada's against animals, and therefore he's telling the human beings are like animals, and therefore he doesn't like the human beings. It means that for a self-realized person, the animals, the human beings, they're all souls in a body. But when a human being just lives like an animal, then he's more or less a two-legged animal. It's not a condemnation against the animals or that a dislike of human beings. But it's the activities. Jesus Christ said, don't hate the sinner, but hate the sin. It's the activities that keep us in bondage life after life. Therefore, when we come to the platform of brahminical life, the mode of goodness, then we're following scriptures and utilizing our senses and mind in Krishna's service in that way. Then there's some question of trusting Krishna, actually taking shelter of Krishna when we're chanting, having internally our heart peaceful enough, we're able to actually try to feel Krishna's presence rather than a heart full of anxiety or trying to imagine what we have to do in order to become Krishna conscious. We say chant Hare Krishna and be happy, but so half of that is chant Hare Krishna, and what does it mean to actually become happy? As long as we misidentify ourselves with this world, there's no question of happiness. No one should be happy in the material world. Dukkhalayama shashvatam. Krishna says, because it's temporary and there's so many miseries. So how can anyone be happy? Even Brahma's not happy. Brahma's sitting on the top of the universe on a lotus flower. There is no bad news in Brahmaloka. Practically everyone lives there. There's no old age, disease, or even death for people who don't want it, except the time of annihilation. He lives for 311 trillion, 40 billion years, and everyone on this planet lives that long also. So, Brahma doesn't have the same problems we have. He's not working 9 to 5, he's not worried about his mortgage. The lotus flowers are paid for. There's no rent. But it says he's not happy because it's all temporary. Loma Sharishi, with his sitting on the bank of the Ganges, he full of hair. Loma means hair. His body is just covered with hair. And every time Brahma would be born and die, then one of his hairs would fall out. And it was said that he'd live as long as he had any hair left on his body. He's sitting there meditating. His disciples come to him and say, Guru Maharaj, we'd like to offer you a bhajan kutir because you're sitting here in the open. So he said, what's the sense? I'm only going to be alive for a short period of time. So he's thinking, I'm only here for a short period, and we're thinking in our 50 years or whatever we're going to live, we're going to be here forever. Why bother? Why not make hundreds and thousands and millions of arrangements for our temporary existence, because we're going to be here for such a long time. So we may not be able to do it physically, but mentally we've erected all these different ideas about what my shelters are, and what has to happen in this world to make me happy, either today, what time prasadam is, where I'm going to sleep, what service I'm going to do, so many things. And if anything goes wrong, then my life falls apart. Everything has to happen according to my desire. So this is all our mental concoctions we've created, and therefore we can't chant Hare Krishna because we're too much absorbed in making arrangements day by day, year by year, moment to moment, trying to figure out what I have to do to conserve my material existence in the way I want it. So to give that up, chant Hare Krishna, and it's not that Krishna is indifferent, that he kind of inept, as soon as we surrender to him, our hollow life will fall apart. You know, we won't know how to put on our shoelaces anymore, how to tie them, because we'll become like, you know, koala bears or something. Surrender to Krishna. No, Krishna, if he gives us the intelligence, we'll become expert at everything that's necessary. Krishna will give us all the intelligence necessary to do whatever we're doing much better than we're doing it now. It's not that we're going to lose anything. We have nothing to lose except for our illusions. So if we can give that up, then we can chant Hare Krishna regularly, follow the principles, eventually learn how to live life in a brahminical way, and then actually take shelter of Krishna. Realize how nice it is to take shelter of him, how nice it is to depend upon him, how things go much better than when we don't have him, when we don't take shelter of him, when we try to take shelter of our mental concoctions born out of our first past desires and activities, which we think is ourselves or something to do with ourselves. But it's simply a gift of the illusory energy to keep us here in illusion forever if we want to. So, we'll stop there.